Welcome back, dear listeners, to another thrilling episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now, before you start to feel that familiar chill running down your spine, fear not, for our spine-tingling horror movie reviews will return soon. In the meantime, prepare yourselves for an electrifying departure as we venture into the heart-pounding world of Kill City Cup. Today, we have a special guest who's about to reveal all of the gritty details of this adrenaline-pumping adventure. Please join me in extending a warm welcome to none other than Mason X. Strap in, because it's time to dive headfirst into the action-packed universe that is Kill City Cup. Hello and welcome back to another, back to America's Most Badass. Actually, that's a different show. Welcome back to Guess What? You're Wrong. Today, we're diving back into Kill City Cup. You know, previously we had April Hunter on the show, but tonight we have Mason X live. How you doing, Mason?
I'm doing outstanding. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you have been quite the busy man since. Let's start with this, your history. I know you've been in wrestling quite a bit, right? You've been bouncing around. You've had a lot of. I've watched some of your YouTube videos, some barbed wire matches and some table matches. Tell me about those. How are those going on your body?
So, as barbaric and brutal as barbed wire is, in some ways, it's easier because it's only tearing up your superficial skin. It's not causing massive physical impact. But boy, do those cuts hurt. Boy, do they get infected if you're not careful. Tables. I know a thing or two about going for tables. They can hurt. In fact, they do hurt. But I'll take that over concrete.
Yeah, because tables got some give to them. You know, concrete, yeah, you hit it and you're stopping, right? So now your masks. You're making some masks. You make all your own masks, is that right?
That is correct. Although I will collect other mask makers' masks for my own personal collection. Every mask you'll ever see me wearing in a video, in a show, in a match, at a convention, I've made myself after countless hours. This one alone took at least 3 days of etching with a wood burner, cutting with a Dremel, reshaping, sanding, painting. All of them are unique. None are ever the same.
Yeah, that mask you're wearing right now, I like that one. And I really, really like the spin. You take a lot of, influence from Jason Voorhees, hence the name Mason X, right? So you're a big Jason fan. When were you first introduced to Jason Voorhees?
So I was obviously familiar with Jason from a young age, but I didn't really become fans of the films until after finding out about Kane Hodder, who played Jason multiple times. He had had debilitating burns early on in his stuntman career. Now, the significance behind that is in 2014, I had a nasty car accident where I broke my ribs, had a concussion, broke my nose, glass embedded in my head, in my hand, broken middle finger, and worst of all, a broken right femur. It took 4 surgeries to put me back together again. Oh, my. And over 150 staples later, I missed 3 years of wrestling because of that. But Kane Hodder's story of coming back from those burns inspired me. And so I became not just a fan of horror in general, but a fan of Jason Voorhees specifically, with predominantly Kane Hodder's performance. That, and I was kind of bullied as a child a little bit. I didn't have the best upbringing as a child. I've been through some traumatic things. I could relate to Jason, and it was a good way for me to let off a little bit of steam after everyday doldrums.
Gotcha. I got to tell you, I've met Kane Hodder as well, and I saw some pictures of you with Kane, and I saw that cameo he sent you. That was spectacular. He's a great guy. great guy. And I got to tell you, starting in, what was it? Friday the 13th, part 7, is when he first appeared as Jason Voorhees. Gave Jason Voorhees some attitude. Without a doubt, before that, he was just a lumbering killing machine, which is nice as well. But Kane Hodder put that extra oomph into Jason Voorhees, and I loved it.
For me, he brought a certain anger to the character. The most closest one before him, C.J. Graham, part 6, he was onto something, but to me, it didn't feel fully realized. Like, he didn't have quite that nasty, unbridled rage that Jason Voorhees had in part 7, 8, 9, and 10. Yep. Of Kane playing him, just that whole, just, you could feel it, like Jason's jaw working after his mask splits in part 7. And you see Kane's jaw moving. He just looks like he's pissed that he wants to rip her head off and then beat the guy with it.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, Kane Hodder is by far my favorite Jason Voorhees, bar none. And I had a chance to speak briefly with CJ Graham as well, but you're right. You're exactly right. CJ Graham had it. Now, had they had casted him for maybe another episode or two, maybe he could have delved into it more, but I think that they went with a great, great guy in Kane Hodder. And that's my opinion. And now we're going to get, since you've been wrestling, you've gotten to meet, I'll say, some celebrities, right? What's your most memorable celebrity meeting?
So there's one that was personally significant, which was Mick Foley. It was right before I became a professional wrestler, or maybe I'd just been wrestling professionally for a few months. Either way, it was during his TNA Impact run. As he was a childhood idol, that was significant. And then Emilio Rivera from Sons of Anarchy and Free From Hell recently at the Bangor Comic Con. That was wicked cool, because I've never met anybody that significant outside of wrestling. He was probably the biggest name star I've met, and Kane Hodder, of course. Granted, that one should always be a given for me. Those are the three that I can think of offhand. Oh, actually, hold on. One more. Okay. Christina Loken, when I was in Kuwait, my final deployment, on the way back from Iraq, I got to meet Christina Loken, the chick from Terminator 3. I forgot all about that until literally just now. She was tall and wicked friendly and nowhere near as scary as they made her out to be.
Yeah, Luke asking who Christina Loken is. She also played Rain in the video adaptation of Blood Rain. You want to see a little bit more of Christina Loken? Watch Blood Rain. She is, and I still follow her on Instagram. She's great. I love some Christina Loken. And now Emilio. I say Emilio. I'm going to go back to that Emilio. But how was his reaction to the whole Kill City Cup and your Mason X?
So you could see, when he would come by our booth, he would watch it. He seemed just engrossed in it. The first time he came by, I didn't get a chance to talk to him. The second time he came by, he seemed to really dig the look of these masks. And I let him know that I make them myself, which he thought was wicked cool. He mentioned how him and his son are kind of into the horror thing. I offered him a part 7 that I had made, a part 7 hockey mask, just like Kane wore. And he gladly accepted that, had me sign it, which I thought was almost hilarious, me signing something for him, but I did it nonetheless. You ain't got to tell a man like that no. Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was really cool to take a picture of him.
Nice. Now, I know when I saw those pictures with you and Emilio, I know that guy from Sons of Anarchy. So I'm really happy to hear that he's a huge horror fan. And that he got a chance to come by and see you. That is awesome. You know, being an indie, being any kind of an independent filmmaker, and then going in independent wrestling and then doing Kill City Cup, having somebody the caliber of Emilio, recognize you and your work that you do in that and your masks and stuff. That is Oh, that is awesome. That is spectacular. I'm happy for you for that. That's awesome.
Now, I appreciate that. I've told Kane the same thing when I saw Kane, that I made these masks myself, which he thought was pretty badass, because a lot of people just buy them from someone else or have someone like me make them for them. I wish we had done Kill City sooner or had been published sooner, because I would have told Kane all about that. I think he might have got a kick out of that, considering some of the stuff he's done.
Yeah, now, when I first saw your appearance in Kill City Cup, it did reckon back to Kane, and maybe Mankind, some of those characters from wrestling that I always liked, I always got attached to, but they never seemed to have enough of them, you know, because I'm a horror freak, I'm a horror nerd. So anytime I saw something like that, I was like, oh, Undertaker too, you know. When I first saw you on Kill City Cup, I was like, oh yeah. So what kind of, did you get any inspirations at all from any of those past wrestlers?
So for me, my inspirations have always been very much Jason Voorhees, Kane's version, and then WWE's Kane, Glenn Jacobs. Mm-hmm. I felt they were just stellar for how they portrayed a big monster, both in a movie type scenario and then one in a actual wrestling type scenario. Definitely borrowed some inspiration from The Undertaker, especially with Kill City being a little bit more fantastical, a little bit more exaggerated than your average wrestling show. It lends itself to that kind of character very much. As for Deranged Madness, I would say I borrow some of that from Mankind. Those would all be great things bundled in, and a little bit of Abyss. He's very underrated, and a lot of people seem to sleep on Abyss, but Abyss was and is a great, great monster. A lot of people should have recognized him more.
Oh yeah, I agree. The monster Abyss was good times. All right, so Holly wants is asking here, let's see some of the other masks you have. I bet they're sick. What else you got for us? That one, I like that one. Got the jawbone. Look at that. It's even got the correct Jason Voorhees markings on it, too. I like that. That's more of a kind of a Silence of the Lambs, Mankind kind of deal. Oh, yeah. Those are nice. So tell us about that one there. Hold on, you're muted.
Then there's this one, which is a part 8, minus the markings.
Nice.
Nice.
There's this one, which is the Burnt Man, as I call him. This one was part of an important storyline I did years ago, where a guy I was wrestling was the first person to discover who Mason X really was underneath the mask when he broke away part of it. And because he did something so dumb as to anger Mason X, I came to his house, beat up his pizza man, kicked the crap out of his friends, and then took the picture of his fiance and bashed him over the head with it and cut his forehead open.
Nice. Boy, I guess I don't really want to get on the bad side of Mason X there. Let's stay buds, okay? Now, you had mentioned, I want to circle back to something real quick, because I think it plays an important part in who you are today. You said you had done some tours overseas in the war. I don't want to go too in-depth on anything you don't want to talk about, but maybe some experiences from that stick out to you?
I was deployed to Iraq 3 times, in 2006 for 2008, 2009 for 2010, and then one final time in 2011. The one that sticks in my mind the most is recovering communications equipment from a destroyed Bradley fighting vehicle that several of my friends had burned up inside in. Although their bodies have been removed, you know when you burn bacon in your kitchen and it leaves that oily, greasy film on the wall? Try imagining that being your friends. That image has haunted me for several years. It's what makes me and what makes Mason who he is. Between that and having one of my mentors, Staff Sergeant Christopher Kiernan, be sniped by a cowardly sniper in Iraq, and having the bullet ping in between his armor plates like a fucking pinball. Those are some of the experiences that I've been left with.
Well, first off, I want to apologize for anything that you went through. I know I have no control over that, but I also want to thank you for everything that you did. And I think those experiences are horrific, but I'm glad you are here with us to give us some Mason X.
Thank you. I don't blame anybody. It happened. And I'm here. Even if part of me sometimes feels like it was left there, I have to remind myself I'm here now in the moment.
Agreed. So back to in the moment then. Kill City Cup. Tell us about how you were approached to be in Kill City Cup. How did that come about?
So with me, I wasn't necessarily approached initially. I saw a pretty young girl getting slammed through a table by a crazy monster in a place that looked like a backdrop in a fighting video game, and I thought that looked friggin' awesome. Lo and behold, I found out somebody I know was the person behind it. It was Luke Robert. I reached out to Luke and asked him about it. I said, hey, what is this all about? And he told me, and I was like, well, I think I'm kind of built for this. Any chance I could be part of it? And he's like, oh, I didn't know you were interested. Yeah. Or something along those lines. I don't remember the exact words. But that's how it all came about. It was very spur of the moment. And then I find myself flying to Florida, filming that.
Florida. Now, are you up north now, or are you over in Texas?
After I got a service in 2012, I stayed in Texas for several more months wrestling. And then moved back to my home state of Maine to escape to the wilderness and try to find myself again. And then I had that car accident here in 2014. That was quite debilitating. But yes, I'm residing in Maine. So watch out if you're out in the lakes or in the woods.
And there's a lot of lakes and woods up in Maine. So be careful and don't piss this guy off. I'm telling you. Now, you were in the Texas wrestling scene. Now, I love the independent wrestling scene. Tell us about some of your experiences within the independent wrestling scene. Because I know he was saying something here. You had Texas was versus New England scene. What are your experiences between those two?
So my experience in Texas at the time was that it was a slower paced storytelling and harder hitting style of wrestling. It was beautiful in some ways because Texas is a massive state with tons of wrestling all throughout. You could wrestle almost every day of the week if you could get booked or had enough demand. You got to really grow really rapidly if you ground and ground for it. It was really nice. And you had a few people around that point in time, like a gentleman by the name of Sign Guy, Billy Lott. Not the same Sign Guy from WWE. He had a channel on YouTube called Sign Guy's Corner. It still exists. It's like an archive of who's who. You'll see people like Jordan Grace before she was ever famous. You'll see me. You'll see Ricky Starks. Hell, you'll see me fighting Ricky Starks in a match back when he was a nobody.
Nice. So now, was the independent wrestling scene up in Maine, is that more... I don't want to say, is it more challenging in a way, or is there more call for you to do different things?
The problem with Maine independent wrestling is not the quality per se, but the quantity. There's only a sparse amount of companies spread over a very big state, not quite as big as Texas, but it is a large state nonetheless, with only maybe two full-time companies. There's only so much work for only so many wrestlers if you stick to just this one area. So if you want to grow, you have to go outside the area, find an opportunity. That's what Kill City was.
Nice. Now, Luke had made mention here of something called a barn brawl on stacks of hay. Now, I'm trying to picture this in my head. Tell me about that.
So I've been wrestling a very, very long time. I've actually been wrestling. Hope you don't mind if I take the mask off. I've actually been wrestling altogether since 1998. I started as a backyarder in the town of Mercer, Maine. Me and my buddy Charles, we'd wrestle on hard ground, on ice. And when we could get away with it, my friend Derek had a hay barn for their dairy farm, which is very prevalent up here. Now, it's not loose hay. It's hard-packed hay. It still feels better than landing on the ground, but it'll still knock the wind out of you if you hit it hard enough. He must be referring to that. There's videos of my old casket matches and stuff on the ground. There's videos in the barn of us doing big old power bombs and things like that. So, yeah, footage exists, whether it should or not. Some of that stuff actually, I'm surprised it didn't kill me.
Well, I see some of these people wrestling in some of these backyard matches, and I'm like, wow, that takes things to a new level. And it's good to let your face breathe, by the way.
So I grew up in the time period, that whole Attitude Era, and backyard wrestling was starting to really get big to the point where they were releasing DVDs about it. Some of the people that I came up with at the same time as me, but in different areas, were people like M-Dog 20, Josh Prohibition, and Pac, Neville from WWE. We were all backyarding at the same time in our respective areas. Maine didn't have a huge backyard scene. There was only a couple feds that I knew of, but this was also during a period of dial-up internet and barely any search engine. So there could have been one free towns over, but for a kid with no internet and no car, it's not like I was going to know that.
Well, that's awesome there. Now, so throughout your career as a professional wrestler, backyard wrestler, the whole gamut here, what's your favorite type of match that you've wrestled in?
So this is probably going to surprise a lot of people, but it was actually a submission match. It was my favorite type because I used to be a very good technical wrestler. I could make people tap out for real, and I took pride in that. I probably still could, but I just can't keep up with the younger, smaller, faster people like I used to. I do enjoy a good brawl when it's done right with a story. I don't like violence for the sake of violence, even though I am Mason X. I want to tell a story as I carve you up like a Thanksgiving turkey. I want to connect with the fans beyond just the shock value, if it can be helped anyhow. Sometimes you got to call a spade a spade, and sometimes you got to knock somebody's teeth out.
And sometimes Mason just has to come in and take care of business, right? So what's the future hold for Mason X? Are there any more plans for any more Kill City Cups, or do you have anything else going on right now?
So I know that something's brewing, but how far along it is, I do not know with Kill City. If the Kill Corps comes calling, I will answer, and I will be there to hurt someone. In the meantime, I have a lot of masks to finish before Halloween. Any conventions that will be interested in booking Mason X, well, God, I'd be interested in that for sure. And other than that, just watching, waiting, looking for my next opportunity to strike, looking for the next person to pick to be my victim.
Now, Luke just asked here, do you have any masks that you're currently working on that we can see?
Let's see here. Yes, I do. Oh, yes. I'm working on a Freddy Krueger type. It's just the barest stages. I got to get around to finishing that one. This one is for myself. It's taking quite a while because, well, it is reinforced on the inside multiple times over because this is designed to take an impact. The detail work on it is much like my one you see in Kill City, but it's got more puckering as if it had been shot with like a shotgun or something. And then on this side, kind of green necrotic flesh, almost like Swamp Thing in color. Pretty proud of this one. Also, in a fully black light situation, it glows a little bit. Been experimenting with black light paint. I have more, but they're just started, so it's not worth showing. Other than I can show you what they look like. So this is a base right here. When I get these, they have no holes drilled at all. So I have to cut all the holes, do all the damage, all the etching, all the painting myself. And that's if I don't go ahead and just make something from scratch, like my son's mask here. This one is 100% original design. He came up with it. I made it for him. It's supposed to be like one of them creepy meme things that they do these days. Kids like, I don't know, looks creepy. I love it. I borrowed it for this these interviews I've been doing today.
That's kind of creepy.
Wow. Now, was that a Casey Jones mask I saw in the back there?
So you sure did see that in the background. It is a fiberglass Casey Jones that I have just done the primer on. It's dry. And I'm waiting for the vision to come to me of what it's going to be, because I don't sketch any of these out beforehand. I don't pre-plan them, really. I just prep, do the prep work, and then I just see it. I see it, and it's almost like you're carving a statue of a block of stone to get to that final result. And sometimes I can get that result really quickly, and sometimes the journey can take weeks, months, when it's my own personal creations. Like if you come up to me and you say, Sean, I want you to make something. Mason, I want you to make me something. This is what I envision. I can turn that out for you. But for my own, sometimes the Casey one, I just can't quite figure out exactly what I want to do.
Now, have you done anything with like the Uber Jason mask, like from Jason X? You know, with the metallic and, you know, melding into the flesh or anything like that?
I actually have an Uber Jason. It's a 3D print. I would not use it wrestling because the 3D prints I have found so far are not durable enough for that. It is a display piece only. And let's see if I can show that to you real quick. Oh, I can figure out how to do this. So I started working on doing a damaged Uber, mostly because with 3D prints, they break really easy. They shatter really easy. I'm also working on this fella here. He almost was in Kill City. He came very close. I forget the reason why we chose not to utilize him. Instead, we went with the one that you saw. This is the original of my Mason X skull mask. I wore this one for the first time in 2017 when I wanted to get away from the hockey mask, because they are, as much as I love Jason, I really do, I was trying not to be a complete ripoff of him.
Yep.
So I have a whole bunch here. I probably have made at least about 136. Conservatively, I've made about 136 masks. It might be higher. I'm not 100% sure, because I had to start selling them to be able to fund my hobby of making more of them. It's like an addiction. I have a jawbone type here. This one is primed. I just got to paint it. Got to figure out what I'm going to do with that one. So that one can go to somebody if they want it. And I'm working on a Hellraiser style. It's cut for it. It just needs to actually be painted. And then I got to go through, put all the nails in it. And I use real nails, so sucks to be somebody if they think it's a cosplay safe one. I could probably do a cosplay safe one. And this one, although you can't see it, there's a gigantic X etched across, almost like the Starman wrestler from NES Pro Wrestling a million trillion years ago, back when I was a kid. Except it's going to be a Mason X version of it. So that one will be coming at some point. I just haven't decided on when I'm going to do that one. There's others. This one is not really easy to see, but it is a Mankind-style skull, almost. That one I will debut soon, I think. This is a Lord Humongous style from Mad Max. Going to do this one up here soon. I've started doing some of the work to it. And I usually work on multiple masks at once. And then the most radical departure, this one's just for a kid. I also overhaul masks too. If you buy a mask, think it doesn't look cool enough, get in touch with me. I'll overhaul your mask for money. You ship it to me, I'll do it. So this one's a Walmart special. You can get it for Halloween stuff right now. Like $10. After a day or so of me working on it, it's gonna look like it's worth $50-$60 minimum. That's what I do. That is my thing. And then I just plot hurting people.
That is awesome. Now, these is that what you outside of wrestling or outside of Kill City Cup, you know, you go to cons and that kind of stuff. Is that what you do mostly? Is just masks?
So outside of cons, yes. Mostly I just make masks these days. As I do have a family in my real everyday life, I focus a lot on that. Probably should start charging a little bit more for my masks because I probably charge too little on these. But I want everybody to have them, so it's hard sometimes because I do it for the joy of it. The other thing I'm trying to move into now is actively looking into doing like some horror movie stuff because I feel like I'm built for it. I'm my own stunt man in a way you could think of. Trained pro wrestlers, we make great stuntmen. I'll take a pratfall. I'll let you light me on fire. Throw me into some barbed wire. I don't care. I had to convince them to let me take all the bumps and stuff. They're like, oh, you want to use a stuntman and one of these little small things that we were looking at. The other big thing I'm doing right now is I'm working on the Faces of Horror contest. I was in it last year. I came in pretty close to winning. It's $13,000. If you vote for me, and hopefully Luke sent you the link, I have a chance of winning it this year. It's $13,000 again, and a chance to do a photo shoot in Rue Morgue magazine with Kane Hodder, who played Jason. That'd be super huge for me. $13,000, I could buy tons of mask stuff. It'd be amazing.
Nice. Yeah, I got that link. I'm going to spread that around as well. I'm going to put that in the show notes so everybody can check that out. Holly Carter here says, I'll pop that up. Oops, wrong one. I'd like to see Queen Gia and Mason X form an alliance, kind of like Beauty and the Beast. What say you on that?
Who's to say it already hasn't happened in Kill City? Just because you haven't seen it on film doesn't mean it hasn't happened. So that could be people's hint that they should keep their eyes peeled, watch Kill City, watch for the hints, look for the small Easter eggs, whether they're there or not is up to you to discover, and see what happens in the sequels.
Luke says this sounds like a love story. That's awesome.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast. She saw him when he was down in the dumps and rescued him from Asylum 666 and helped him break free. So he might be just thankful. And he wants to help her achieve her goals. Maybe it's running Kill City. Maybe it's helping Mr. Kill. Guess you'll have to find out.
I don't know. Mr. Kill seems to me like the type of ruler that is just asking to be overthrown at any minute. So my guess is that Queen Gia has something up her sleeve and ready for Mr. Kill when the time is right.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm definitely not the one that wants to lead Kill City, but I might definitely be fine being the hired muscle behind the leader for Kill City.
I like that. That is awesome. I got to tell you, this Kill City Cup, I don't even know when I first heard. I think I remember I follow April Hunter on a lot of stuff. I've been a big fan of April Hunter for a long time. And I saw that she was in Kill City Cup. She started putting out this Kill City Cup stuff. And that's the first time I checked it out. And I got to tell you, Luke did a great job with some Kill City Cup. I'm loving the story behind it. I love how it takes the horror and it throws it in with a little bit of gaming. And then on top of that, you got wrestling. Who doesn't love horror and wrestling? Obviously, Mason, you love some horror and wrestling.
It is the best fusion, in my opinion. I love how this has all worked out. I could never dream for a better project than combining horror, wrestling, and a video game. And all done by one of my crazy friends. Who knew?
And I got to tell you, I lived down in the Tampa Bay area for 24 years. And a lot of this stuff I was just clueless about. And then I moved to North Carolina. And then I find out about it all happening in Florida. So thanks a lot for that, Luke. But anyway, Mason, I don't want to keep you on here all night long. Real quick, if there's any place anybody can look up some of your masks, do you have like a website store, an online store, anything like that?
As of right now, the only ways you can get them is if you catch me at a convention, at a wrestling show, or if you hit me up directly on Facebook, Mason X. I'm easy to find, the big bald guy with a scary mask. Send me a message, and let's talk. And if you don't send me a message, you're a fool. Because if you get ready for Halloween and you buy something from Walmart, it is cheap garbage. I put my own blood, sweat, and tears into it. I'll let you know if I'm serious about the blood.
That is spectacular. I will put links to your Facebook page and everything in the show notes when this comes out on an audio podcast. I'll also throw it up here on the live stream later on as well. Mason, once again, I want to thank you. Luke, I want to thank you for reaching out. It's been a pleasure to meet a fellow horror fan that just froze up on me a little bit. Oh, maybe not. I think he needs to go. Mason, thank you so much for joining
us.
You're welcome. You made the right choice. If you had said no.
I would not have said no, because I saw you in Kill City Cup, and I knew right away that I wanted to talk to you. And I do not need that upside my head. That is for sure. Mason, once, and he's got a scythe. How do you say those things? Scythe?
You can call it a sickle. You can call it a scythe. Either way, the damn thing will cut you.
I'm going to try my hardest to stay on your good side. Because I do not want to find, I'm trying to grow my beard out. I don't need a shave. All right. So let's stay buds. We both love Kane Hodder. We both love some Jason Voorhees. So let's stay buds. And I don't need you coming after me in my sleep, buddy. But Mason, once again, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for joining us here on Guess What? You're Wrong. And we look forward to seeing anything else that you got coming out in the future. And I'm going to stay in touch with you on the Facebooks and anywhere else. And Luke, if you, some call it a sling blade, Luke, if anything's going on, we'll keep an eye out for you. Loved having you on. Loved talking with you. Until next time, everybody have sweet dreams. Love, peace, and chicken grease. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night and God bless America.